Jeff, I wanted to add to our earlier interview, as I have now had a chance to interview both Jim Bolger and Ruth Richardson, as I wanted to ask you about the discrepancies between their viewpoints and from commentary around the FRA. I asked you to read the transcripts of the interviews because as a person who was in politics, but not a politician, you were in a unique position to observe not only these historical events, but the personalities behind them. Firstly, there was the genesis of the FRA, historians and commentators, as well as Jim Bolger stating that the BNZ, being insolvent, was the precursor of the FRA. Ruth Richardson clearly disagrees. What are your thoughts?
Ruth is one of those once-in-a-lifetime politicians I refer to. I have no doubt she entered Parliament with a single-minded focus. Maybe, Linda, you were the first person to ask her this question directly, where everyone else has just drawn assumptions from a series of events or from what others have said. There's a good lesson here for historians.
Secondly, there is the matter of how contested the passage of the legislation was. Knowing both Ruth Richardson and Jim Bolger, do you have a comment about the divergent viewpoints?
I think that the important lesson here from a historian's point of view is that history is observed through the eyes of people that were there at the time, their viewpoints, so to speak. Passing legislation in Parliament is like fighting in the trenches at times. So Ruth spearheading that legislation would have been fighting tooth and nail in every debate. She would have felt the heat of the contest. I trust Ruth Richardson's memory on this will be as sharp as a razor, and I would expect her to be able to recall virtually all of the debate, who said what, and how everyone voted in the end. I've no doubt that Ruth's account of that part of history is completely accurate. Jim Bolger, on the other hand, had seen some massive public protests on Parliament during his time. So from his general's seat, to use an analogy, he would have seen that the public had showed little interest, and therefore to him, having Michael Cullen get up at the House and call the FRA fiscal nonsense, that's about as uncontested as you could get.
Lastly, Ruth Richardson in her interview dismisses both his and Bill Birch's support for the bill, their contribution, and even says they didn't fully grasp the impacts of the bill. That seems to fly in the face of everything I have read. Why do you think there is such a divergent view?
With regards to Ruth's comments about Jim and Bill Birch, I think here, Linda, you poked the bear, and that's a compliment to you as an interviewer. I've not seen her be as direct about Jim Bolger and Bill Birch anywhere else in interviews. There's no doubt that Ruth was roughly and somewhat unfairly treated after the 1993 election, for sure. Ruth obviously still feels the pain today. I don't blame her. It's a rough life being a politician. You live by the sword and you die by the sword. 4 years later, it was Jim Bolger's turn to be ousted by Jenny Shipley. From my viewpoint, however, Jim Bolger absolutely knew the impacts of the FRA and was committed to its passing.
Can you tell me what the mood of the electorate was leading up to the 1993 election?
It was my job to take the calls from people wanting to complain to the Prime Minister. It's hard to describe in today's terms the bitterness of the electorate, particularly with older national voters, many of which will have gone to their graves still angry over the broken 1990 election campaign promises, particularly the superannuation surcharge. Even staunch party members who could intellectually understand the need for such deep structural changes could not but help emotionally feeling betrayed.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jeff.